Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother in Christ and servant in the Lord, Radio Reformer, am in studio to present to you another proposition, proposition number 75. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call in, or for one of his associates to call in, is area code 646-564-9730. Mr. Ellis, we want to give you ample opportunity and more than enough time. This broadcast is scheduled to be as long as 2 hours if you decide to call in, sir. The number, again, is 646-564-9730. And I'm in studio today to present to you Proposition number 75. Proposition number 75. After today, we will only have 20 more propositions to go. And here is Proposition number 75. The Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, a.k.a. J. Delano Ellis, stands before God fully and scripturally rebuked for embracing salvific error. Let me read this to you again. The Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops stands before God, as Cain did, fully scripturally rebuked for embracing salvific error, for embracing, and may I add, for embracing and promoting salvific error. The word salvific has everything to do with the gospel of Christ Jesus and the doctrine of salvation. You can see in salvific, you see the word salvation. And so what are we talking about? Well, let us turn to Genesis chapter 4. And we've been talking about Cain and how Mr. J. Delano Ellis, the author of the book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, we have been presenting the arguments, making the case that Mr. J. Delano Ellis is a mirror image of Cain, the apostate son of Adam and Eve. That's the case that we have been making. And today we want to talk about how Mr. J. Delano Ellis stands before God fully rebuked and scripturally rebuked. And the rebuke does not come from me. Rebuke does not come from other apologists or polemicists. The rebuke to Mr. J. Delano Ellis does not come from a Protestant. It comes from God. It is God who rebuked Cain. It was God who admonished Cain. It was God who scolded Cain for embracing a bloodless gospel. And that's my contention here today with Mr. J. Delano Ellis as I read his book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. I've read this book, I can tell you, maybe 100 times. Been going through it with a fine-tooth comb. And there is not one iota of gospel in this book. There's no gospel. This is a gospelist book. This is a book that was written by a modern-day Cain. This book has no Jesus in it, has no redemption in it, has no cross in it, other than that Mr. J. Delano Ellis talks about how one should wear the pectoral cross, how one should take the cross of gold that one wears as a bishop, and how it should be tucked into the pocket, the breast pocket of our ministerial shirts. That's the only cross mentioned here. There's no mention of Jesus. There's no mention of the blood. There's no mention of salvation. This is all Roman Catholic / Anglican mumbo jumbo. All of it. is worthless. The entire book that Mr. J. Delano wrote, that so many fawn over, so many idiots fawn over, because this book, again, there's only one scripture text cited, and that's Acts 2:4. Can you imagine that? A supposedly 100 page, it's really 97 pages. It's a 97-page book, and in all 97 pages, only one scripture text, Acts 2:4. Only one Bible verse mentioned, quoted, in all 97 pages. There's no gospel here. No gospel. Absolutely no gospel. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, how does Mr. J. Delano Ellis, how does he mirror Cain? How does he mirror Cain? Well, he mirrors Cain in his pride. Cain was prideful when he approached God. He was rebellious when he approached God. He wanted to approach God his way, not God's way. God said, you're to approach me via the blood. And Cain said, well, you say via the blood, but I'm going to ignore what you say, and I'm going to come my own way. I'm going to come wearing my fig leaves, if you will. I'm going to come dressed before you as my parents did when they fell in the garden. Remember that when Adam and Eve sinned and they realized that they were naked, they sewed together fig leaves. And they tried to cover themselves, they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. But God took off the fig leaves and put animal skins on them, meaning that he had sacrificed animals, that he had shed blood, showing Adam and Eve that the way of access to him was via the blood, through the blood, and only through the blood. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But Cain was promoting a godless gospel. A godless gospel. And as it says here in Proposition number 75, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops stands before God fully and scripturally rebuked for embracing and promoting the gospel of error, a salvific error, if you will. And he stands before God, rebuked as Cain. First and foremost, let me show you how Mr. J. Delano Ellis is a prideful man. Listen to him speak here in this two-hour audio clip. Listen to him refer to himself as the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. Listen to him mention, refer to himself as the roadmap. Listen, this is pure arrogance. This is Cainian arrogance in modern day garb. Here is J. Delano Ellis.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
It's a worthless organization. It is not important. It is worthless. It should have never been created. It's not obsolete because God never made it legitimate. He asked, why is it important? Well, it's worthless. It's not based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is not the head of that organization. J. Delano Ellis is. Christ is supposed to be the head of all things. Yet, in J. Delano's organization, he's the head. He's the Cain. He's leading the revolt. He's leading the exodus out of East of Eden.
Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important. the question, why is it important?
He's fumbling. This proud peacock is fumbling. He doesn't even know what to say. He looks stupid in this video on YouTube. He looks stupid. Yeah, and it's not a senior moment. It's a jackass moment. The number here, Mr. Ellis, is 646-564-9730. He didn't have a senior moment. He had a jackass moment. As detailed in my book, Jackass Church Bishops.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it, in that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth.
In other words, Roman Catholic mumbo-jumbo. It provides for us ethos and Lambeth. Roman Catholic mumbo-jumbo sandwiched with a slice of Anglicanism stupidity.
A similar ethos as does Lambeth for Anglicanism. We may not impact the entire church community, but we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church. The Joint College is important because there is a continuing need for Episcopal training for African-American reformations that subscribe to the Episcopal style of leadership. The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised.
The Joint College brings a fresh sunshine of knowledge. How about bringing Christ? I don't need fresh sunshine. I need Christ. The world needs Christ. The Joint College brings a fresh sunshine of knowledge. Mr. Ellis, we need Christ. The world needs Christ. Doesn't need any more sunshine. We have enough sunshine. Can we have some Jesus? Can you give me some Jesus? Can you give me some Lamb of God? Can you give me some of the cross? I don't need any more fresh sunshine.
The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised segment of the church. However, it is not so much knowledge that it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African-American heritage.
Does anybody know what this nut's talking about? Does anybody know? I mean, he's talking stupid. This is all psychobabble. This is all, I mean, this is nonsense. This is pure nonsense. And this is a man with two doctorates, supposedly. Because we don't even know if that's true. I mean, that's what's on the website. It does. I can't tell you. He has two doctorates from the little book he wrote here. This little nonsensical 97-page double-spaced little pamphlet, which they call a book.
Or experience. For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular.
Ooh, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular. You see how he's reveling in his title? But what is he the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of? Of nothing. It's a bogus organization. It's the blind leading the blind. It's a big cane leading to damnation, little canes. That's what this guy is. This is a Christless organization. There's no Christ in this organization.
Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular. Alexandria. The office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. The office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority.
Is he making any sense? So he's got a big title, and you know what they said about big titles. You know what they said about big titles. People who have big titles are the devil's agents.
That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
His office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law. A roadmap to what? Well, it's a roadmap to damnation. It's a roadmap to damnation. Here's another audio clip in which he talks to people about preparing for transition. And this is important that we hear this. Because I need you to understand that this man is talking about plumes and vestments and chains and rings. He's talking about the garments that he wears. Just like Adam and Eve, they wore the fig leaves. Well, Mr. J. Delano Ellis's fig leaves are vestments, plumes, chains, and rings. It's the same way Cain tried to approach God. He tried to approach God on his own merits. Cain did not bring a bloody sacrifice. Cain did not present to God a vicarious atonement. Cain brought no blood. And he says, here I am. Take a look at me, God. I'm special. And God says, you're not special. You're a sinner. Where's the blood? Where's the animal? Where's the sacrificial lamb like Abel brought me? But here's J. Delano Ellis talking about how he approaches God.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. For we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what?
It's the same question the rest of the world is asking, for what? But he's turning out these bishops because there must be a draconian tsunami. You see, the Bible says that the enemy must come in like a flood. Satan is spewing out of his mouth all of these bishops. The church is supposed to be overwhelmed with this draconian tsunami. Read Revelation 12, saints. And it was the serpent, the deceiving serpent, Satan, who cast out of his mouth as it was a flood, a tsunami of bishops, that he might cause the church, meaning Satan, to be carried off, to be carried away. That's why they're ordaining bishops at a rapid pace. And he says, and for what? Well, Satan is trying to destroy the African-American church with an Episcopal tsunami. A Romish Anglican Episcopal tsunami. And J. Delano Ellis is leading the charge. He's the first one being spit out of Satan's mouth in Revelation 12. Listen to him.
Being elevated, and I keep asking myself, for what? And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, planning for the future of our organizations and our churches. How many of us have a succession plan?
You don't need to have a succession plan. God will ensure that the church continues, and God will ensure that he raises up a successor. You don't need to have a succession plan. That's non-biblical. That's asinine. And this is a guy with two doctorates, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that God carries on the church. Long after we're gone, the church continues because God is gracious. Because Christ gives to the church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers in every generation. But he's talking about a succession plan. A succession plan that doesn't involve God.
I mean a succession plan beside our sons.
Making the sales pitch, and he's got the music in the background, the instrumental of Nearer God to Thee. Nearer God to Thee. That's the song that they were singing on the Titanic. That's the song the band was playing while the Titanic was sinking. And he's got that song there. He's Nearer God to Thee. Well, this guy's Cain. He does not want to be near God, nor is he leading people nearer to God. This is all smoke and mirrors. Listen to what follows.
We're past the rules. We got that down pat. Excuse the pat. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things.
You see, that's how they approach God. When they come into church, they have their regal vestments. They have their plumes, their feathers, because you heard it from him. I've been saying it all along. They're peacocks. They have to strut their feathers. And you heard it out of his mouth. When you read his little book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Church, he talks about manicures. He talks about stockings, matching stockings and matching shoes. I mean, he talks about robes and vestments and shirt colors and matching this and that. I mean, it's like a charm school. It's like a charm school. And here he is talking about vestments and plumes and rings. Well, spiritually speaking, that's how Cain was approaching God. Cain was all spiritually decked out. Abel came humble. Abel came shedding blood. But Cain says, I don't need to shed blood. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm special. I'm Cain. I was gotten of the Lord. I'm the special one. I'm the firstborn. I'm the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. I'm the leader. I'm it. Look at me. Look at my vestments. Look at my chains. Look at my rings. Look at my plumes. No blood. No blood. There's no blood in the Roman Catholic Church. Except the blood of the persecuted martyrs. There's no blood in the Anglican Church. There's no blood. The Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church are one and the same. There's no blood. What you have is the doctrines of men and doctrines of demons. That's what you have. And here is J. Delano Ellis talking about plumes, rings, chains, and vestments. Here he is.
Excuse the pastor. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things. Some of us look like dogs.
So, let us now go to Genesis chapter 4. Let me make my argument. Because here is Cain, and he's approaching God the same way J. Delano Ellis and his crowd of clowns, Episcopal clowns, this is how they approach God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Cain came confessing no sins. He came confessing no sins. He came promoting self. He came promoting his righteousness. He came promoting his status. Let's read. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and following.
Chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
So what happens? Two worshipers come before God. One comes with the gospel of works, which is Roman Catholicism, which is Cain's gospel, the gospel of works. It's a merit-based gospel. I've earned it. I've earned it with the sweat of my brow. Look at me. It's a bloodless gospel. Abel, on the other hand, comes with the gospel of grace. I can only approach God because he's gracious. Because he's provided me with a way. He's provided me with a substitute. The lamb is my substitute. And God had respect, accepted Abel's offering. But unto Cain and his offering, unto Cain, God looked at Cain and says, I don't respect you. I don't accept you either. And I don't accept your offering. I don't accept your person, and I don't accept your mode of access to me. I reject them both. And this is my case in point. J. Delano Ellis stands condemned before God. God rejects J. Delano Ellis. God rejects the Joint College of African American Bishops. Rejects them because they are approaching God the way Cain did. With no blood. They're approaching God, and they want God to accept them because they have apostolic succession. They can trace their succession back to the Western stream and the Eastern stream. Well, that's rubbish. Of that is rubbish. God does not care about apostolic succession. He doesn't care who laid hands on you and who laid hands on the one that laid hands on you and whether you can trace it all the way back to Peter, because it makes no sense. You can trace it back to Peter, but you can't trace it back to Christ, and you can't even trace it back to Peter. But even if you did, you are worshiping Peter, and Peter's not the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist did not point to Peter. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Not the pseudo-Lamb of God who gives you plumes and vestments and rings and chains. No, my brothers and sisters, no. So, who was mad? Cain was. He was mad at God. But Cain can't beat up on God. Cain, now he was mad. Oh, he was piping mad. Oh, he was mad as can be. And he was wroth. And his countenance fell. So God interviews him. God speaks to Cain. And then God speaks to him, dialogues with him, tries to reason with Cain in verse 6, and rebukes him in verse 7. Here it is.
And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
There you have it. He's rebuked. God promises Cain restored fellowship if he does well. But if he chooses not to do well, the effects of sin, which are already animated in him, will pounce on him. The picture is of a demon ready to pounce on Cain and to enslave him, the demon of Romanism. God says to Cain, if you repent and you do it my way, if you come with blood, you'll have restored fellowship. But if you don't do it my way, Cain, the devil's ready to make you into his disciple. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Cain stands before God fully rebuked, because it says, but unto Cain, verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering, God had not respect. Rejected, does J. Delano Ellis stand before God? Rejected. In his fine feathers, in his fine vestments, in his gold chain, in his huge Episcopal ring, J. Delano Ellis stands well-dressed in faggot wear, because that's what that is. That's what Jesus called it. And Mr. Ellis, you can call the broadcast. You can call me here, Mr. Ellis, at 646-564-9730, and let someone with a real doc show you where Jesus said that the garments that you wear are faggot wear. I can show you. Scripturally, I can show you. And we can go into the Greek. Do you read Greek, Mr. Ellis? Come on, I'll show you. I'll show you where Jesus used the word for effeminate men. I'll show you where. And he tied effeminacy to garments, the kind of garments you wear, the kind of garments you promote in your asinine book, The Bishopric. Come on, Mr. Ellis. Call us here at 646-564-9730. You, sir, stand condemned before God. God rejects you and your offering, and has respect neither for you nor your offering. But unto Cain and unto his offering, God had no respect. You stand before God rejected, rebuked, and rejected. Not just rejected, but rebuked and condemned. You see, Mr. Ellis, it's not about plumes, and it's not about vestments, and it's not about rings, and it's not about rings, and it's not about chains. It's about the blood. The blood. The blood. We can have access to God through the blood. Through the blood, Mr. Ellis, and because you come bloodless, because you refuse to come through Christ, but you see, you want to approach God. You want to approach God with the fruit of episcopacy. That's how J. Delano Ellis wants to approach God. He wants to bring God the fruits of Romish and Anglican episcopacy. And God says, don't lay that rubbish at my altar. the only way to be accepted with me is you come via my son. That's why Cain was rejected. This is why, saints, Cain was rejected. A lack of Christ. No Christ in his gospel. Now, A.W. Pink, the great author, the great scholar and author, and devotional writer, A.W. Pink, speaks to us at this moment. I have a clip where he's going to talk about the way of salvation. Are you listening, Mr. Ellis? Are you listening, Episcopal Cain? Mr. Ellis, this is how you're supposed to approach God. If you don't want to be rebuked, if you don't want to be rejected, if you don't want to stand condemned on Judgment Day, this, sir, is the way of salvation, as marvelously explained by A.W. Pink.
The Way of Salvation by A.W. Pink. What must I do to be saved? Saved from what? What is it you wish to be saved from? Hell? That proves nothing. Nobody wants to go there. The issue between God and man is sin. Do you wish to be saved from it? What is sin? Sin is a species of rebellion against God. It is self-pleasing. It is the utter ignoring of God's claims. Being completely indifferent whether my conduct pleases or displeases him. Before God saves a man, he convicts him of his, quote, sinnership, unquote. By this I do not mean that he says with everybody else, quote, oh yes, we are all sinners, I know that, unquote. Rather do I mean that the Holy Spirit makes me feel in my heart that I have been a lifelong rebel against God, and that my sins are so many, so great, so black, that I fear that I have transgressed beyond the reach of divine mercy. Have you ever had that experience? Have you seen yourself to be totally unfit for heaven and unfit for the presence of a holy God? Do you now perceive that there is no good thing in you, nothing good credited to your account, that all the way through life you have loved the things God hates and hated the things God loves? Has the realization of this broken your heart before God? Has it made you mourn that you have so despised his mercies, misused his blessings, neglected his word, and given him no real place at all in your thoughts, affections, and life? If you have not yet seen and felt this personally, then at present there is no hope for you. For God says, quote, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, unquote, Luke 13:3. And if you die in your present condition, you will be lost forever. But if you have been brought to the place where sin is your greatest plague, where offending God is your greatest grief, and where your deepest desire is now to please and honor him, then there is hope for you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. And he will save you, providing you are ready and willing to throw down the weapons of your warfare against him, bow to his lordship, and surrender yourself to his control. His blood can wash the foulest clean. His grace can support and uphold the weakest. His power can deliver the tried and tempted. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Yield yourself to Christ's claims. Give him the throne of your heart. Turn over to him the regulation of your life. Trust in his atoning death. Love him with all your soul. Obey him with all your might. And he will conduct you to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31.
In other words, take all your Episcopal vestments, take all of your chains, all of your crosses, all of your rings, take all of your funny hats, take your pantyhose, take your velvet slippers, take everything Episcopal and burn it and turn to Christ and rely on his blood. Turn to God, sir. Turn to God that you might be saved. Give up your Episcopal nonsense. Give up your bloodless gospel. Because as of today, sir, if God were to judge you today, you would stand before him as Cain did. And that's proposition number 75. Proposition number 75, which is based on scripture. You, sir, as Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, you, sir, stand before God as Cain did, fully rejected and scripturally rebuked for embracing salvation, salvific error. Your works will not save you in the day of judgment. Do you think that on that day when you tell Christ, but Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? And Lord, in thy name, didn't I cast out demons? And Lord, in thy name, didn't I do many wonderful works? Because Jesus said, many shall say to me, many, Mr. Ellis, many, and you're included in that many. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, but I will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Sir, today, if you were to close your eyes and give up the ghost, you will stand before God, fully rejected and scripturally rebuked and eternally damned, despite the fact that you are wearing the finest vestments and are donning heavy jewelry, expensive jewelry, with all that paraphernalia and all your plumes. The angels of the Lord will lift you up in the air and cast you right into the mouth of hell. For you, sir, are a modern-day Cain. I will be back tomorrow, Thursday, with proposition number 76, as we continue to compare this archbishop named J. Delano Ellis to the heretic named Cain. God bless you, saints.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And all this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sighs. let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God.